Welcome to the Rooflines Podcast, produced by Virginia Realtors, where we serve up real talk about real estate in Virginia. On each episode, we break down trends in the housing market and help you make sense of what's going on in Virginia's real estate industry and what's on the horizon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Rooflines. I'm Ryan Price, Chief Economist with Virginia Realtors. Today, we're joined by Craig Tolson, who is the CEO of the Virginia Home Builders Association. How you doing, Craig?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining the podcast today. We've got a lot of good stuff to talk about in the new construction industry here in Virginia. But before we dive into that, I thought it'd be helpful maybe to give our listeners kind of a quick overview of your organization.
Sure. So HBAV is the Home Builders Association of Virginia. We're the professional trade association for the residential construction industry in Virginia. And I say residential construction industry, not just home builders. While that's our name, the Home Builders Association, we truly represent the entire industry. So yes, builders, single family, multifamily, remodelers, production builders, custom home builders, but we also represent all the trades. So HVAC, plumbers, roofers, carpentry, specialty services that deal with residential construction and development, such as engineers, tax associates, marketing professionals that work on home building and promoting construction. So really, it is the whole industry. So that's what makes us a little different and unique. Our members are company members. We have roughly just over 3,000 statewide members. I know that's less than your organization, but again, they're company members. So when we say a large builder like Ryan Homes or MVR, that's just one of our 3,000 members. So here, just like the Virginia Realtors, we do the government affairs and regulatory efforts on a state level, and then our National Association of Home Builders up in Washington, D.C. So, yeah, and again, I'm glad to be here. And it's a good partnership that we always have with the home builders and the realtor community.
Absolutely. We're happy to keep that partnership going. And it, you know, from the sound of it, it sounds like you guys really have a pretty unique vantage point of the industry, not just from the new construction, but just from all the key players that are involved in those types of transactions and those types of projects. So top of mind really is what kind of demand trends are taking place so far? And, you know, are you guys seeing a different type of home in demand? Like are builders building more of a specific type maybe than they had in the past? Are there types of homes that are being built less than before? What are some of the more current trends that you've been seeing on the demand side?
Yeah, sure. Well, if you look around or you drive around, you're probably seeing, number one, you're seeing smaller homes being built. Today's homes are smallest, and it's only by a couple hundred square feet, but it's a trend. They're the smallest they've been in 14 years, since 2010. So homes are getting smaller. This of course, is the reason so we can help meet that affordability demand where that where the buyer is able to purchase the home. But two, you're seeing a lot more townhome construction.
Okay.
You're seeing a lot of 2-over-2 condo construction. So that's where you basically have two townhouses stacked on top of each other, particularly in Northern Virginia, the Richmond area. You're seeing some of this down in the Tidewater area as well. But so you're seeing a lot of builders go that route. And again, it's really matching up to the affordability aspects. It's what that buyer wants. We are building a lot of homes for, it's tough to meet the historical first-time home buyer market, but that move-up buyer market where, or maybe they're a little bit older, it is their first home, but instead of buying their first home in their 20s, they're now in their mid-30s, so they're a little bit more established. So it may be a first-time home, but it's a little bit more expensive. But meeting that market to where they don't need or desire a half-acre lot and the maintenance that comes along with it, so they're getting townhomes. We expect that market to do very, very well. It's roughly in Virginia about 20% of the market right now. And historically, that number has been well below 10% when it comes to townhomes.
Yeah, well, that actually aligns with a lot of the data that we've been seeing in the for sale market too. It's just the demand for townhomes really seems to be increasing. A larger proportion of sales, closed sales in Virginia, are townhomes compared to other states. So we really are seeing that housing stock, I think, gain popularity. And I suggest, I really do think it's about price point. I think it's about meeting people where they are in terms of their life stage and their finances. So I think that's an interesting take to hear that they're building more as well. How has the market been so far this year for builders? And do you have a sense in talking with your members, kind of the general sentiment or the outlook for the remainder of the year? How are folks feeling on the ground there?
It's a bit of a mixed bag. I'm going to say cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
Depending on who you speak with, if you're speaking with a national builder that has access to Wall Street and those type of funds, right, versus a custom home builder that is really struggling to locate lots in this market. Right. And when they locate the lot, they have to then work with the banking system and get a construction loan or a development loan. And as we talk about interest rates and the effect on the market, which I think we'll talk about in a little while, but when you're talking about construction and development loans, those loan rates are tied to the prime lending rate. So they aren't at 5 or 6%. The construction rates are closer to 10, 12, sometimes even 15%. So it's very hard for the smaller custom builder to compete and get the lot inventory that they need, whereas the national builders have a very competitive advantage in that area to get the lots. They are optimistic, though, because of the demand or the supply, the overwhelming demand.
Overwhelming, yeah.
Population in Virginia is growing just going gangbusters, right? Our economic development team is doing a great job recruiting people to the state. But we have so much demand. People are knocking on their door every day. If we can get the lots, these builders are going to be able to sell. With where the interest rates are right now, this lock-in effect.
Yeah, lock-in effect, golden handcuffs.
That's right.
There are a couple versions of it.
really, the new home market is the inventory. It is the market that's available. So everything I'm seeing nationally is that roughly 30% of the homes on the market now are new homes. And that number traditionally is 10, sometimes even less than 10%.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it really is a key component of our supply right now, the new construction piece. Good to hear that they're optimistic. We hear a lot about challenges and barriers that exist for the home building industry. We talked about the lot shortages. We know that there's a systemic labor shortage. There are material delays. The list could go on and on. From your vantage point, though, Craig, in the industry, what do you think the two biggest, if we were to isolate it to two biggest challenges that are facing residential builders here in Virginia, but also nationally, what would you say those two are?
Sure. So, we at the association have kind of said, we talk about affordability, that's all the challenges. And we've talked about five, and I'm not going to talk about five, but the five are lots, laws and regulations, lending, lumber/materials. We're going with lumber since it's an L, and then labor. So you nailed on all those. I'd say the two largest ones that are barriers to us are the lots and the laws and the regulations. And they really a lot go hand in hand. In Virginia, we're a Dillon rule state, and all the local governments have the zoning authority. They have all the land use authority that's granted to them by the Virginia General Assembly. And that's really where the bottleneck is. There are a lot of local governments, good local governments in the state, that really roll the red carpet out, and they understand the economic impact that housing has for their region. And then we have the opposite end of the spectrum as well in that standpoint. I do want to say, though, they're put in a tough predicament. The local governments are elected by the current citizens. And we have this problem that hopefully everyone's aware called NIMBYism.
Oh, yeah. Not in my backyardism.
Not in my backyard. NIMBY, right?
Yeah.
And it does not matter what development is proposed at that locality. The same people show up and they show up with their megaphones and they oppose any type of development or construction. With the population growing like it is, we have so much demand and need for housing. And we have identified that roughly 70% of all homes and apartments that are built, and I like to say homes, not you know, because apartments are homes as well. So new single family townhomes and apartments, roughly 70% actually were born and raised or our very own residents here in the Commonwealth. They were born here. They went to school here. They love it here and they want to stay here. So we have to produce these homes. So we need to get the message out to everyone that we have to build for our own. These people that we're opposing any type of construction development, there it's our kids, it's our employees, it's our neighbors' kids and everyone else who went off to college and came back. So number one is lots. And really, I think it goes back to we need to get the message across to everyone that opposes any type of new development that we need it. And then that'll really bring the local politicians, give them a little bit to represent and understand that the economic developments connect all the dots with housing and development. Moving on to number two, laws and regulation. So regulation, currently a nationwide figure that our national association just rolled out is that $93,000 of the cost of a new home is due to regulation. Roughly $50,000 during the development process and $40,000 during construction. So development regs are, you know, timeline delays, getting additional permits. There is a new regulation out there. I'm not sure if anyone's heard. There's a endangered species in Virginia called the northern long-eared bat. And now developers have to do a survey of their land before they clear to make sure that this bat is not in that land that they would like to take the trees down. So that's just adding layers and layers of extra costs. I know it's great for the environment, but when we add it all in there, that goes in there. Building code regulations, you name it. But it's just, you know, we need to make streets a certain width. It's death by a thousand cuts. So one is lots. Let's get the lots on the ground. Let's get them quick. And then two is let's just sometimes take a step back and go, was this always our intention to make homes this unaffordable by just, you know, like I said, death by a thousand cuts here?
So I'm thinking about some of those kind of regulatory hurdles that builders have to go through, and, you know, whether it be just, you know, kind of dated zoning codes or, you know, things that are really need to sort of be refreshed in a lot of cases. Thinking about those challenges you just mentioned, I mean, are you seeing some sort of best practices or examples of way builders or communities are overcoming or kind of rethinking some of these regulations and zoning laws that are on the books?
Yes and no. I think there are a lot of local governments that have been doing very well, and they're constantly updating their laws and or their zoning regulations and ordinances, so that when a development comes in, it's part of their comprehensive plan, they've planned for it, that it's expedited quickly, it's permitted, it's inspected, and a ribbon
predictability.
Cutting. That's right. Predictability. Any type of industry wants predictability.
Sure.
And it happens. On the other end, we have certain other areas that have identified growth and the developer goes through the process and then is still denied. So there are several, we're starting to see several local governments out there do some more innovative approaches. Are they going to be successful? I don't know yet. It's too soon to tell.
Yeah.
But they're trying something. We can't just sit on the sidelines and say moratorium on any new construction until we can't figure it out. So that's good. So yeah. Arlington and Alexandria have recently updated their zoning ordinances to do away with the single family only zoning. Right. So you can still build single family, but now you can build things other than single family in those zoning districts.
Kind of the missing middle conversation.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So that's good. We're seeing that trend. Roanoke is proposing zoning changes to encourage more housing. That was in the Roanoke Times about a month ago. So that's good. So Roanoke is now getting on board. And in the Richmond market, you're seeing jurisdictions like Chesterfield County. They're going through a big zoning update or ordinance update. And that's good. So we're seeing that it's people said, okay, our zoning are stale. We're right. not going to be building the houses today that we built, or the communities today that we built in the 90s, right? The 80s.
Yeah.
It's time. We've got to, just like any business, any enterprise, any organization, you name it, they have to have, you know, kind of a 3 to 5 year strategic plan. It's time to update those and modernize those ordinances. So we're seeing it little by little. Is there a silver bullet? We don't have it yet, but I do want to say that we want to have dialogue and communicate with local governments about the challenges that are in the way and how we can make a difference and make the communities better. So I think that's starting to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Incremental change, I think, is going to be important here. And I think, you know, at this point, we've been having a low inventory for almost a decade now, going on a decade, and in some places, you know. And I think the longer we have that, the more urgent conversations become.
Last year, we built roughly 21,000 homes in Virginia. That was flat from 2022. It's down about 15% from 2021. You know, 2020 and 2021 were great years. But if you look back to your comment about the decade, we built during the 2010s, we built half as many homes during the 2010s that we did during the 2000s. And then if you compare that also, the 2010s to the 90s, it's the same thing. We built half as many. 80s, same thing. So we underbuilt by 50% for 10 years. And now it's come to head. Where, oh my gosh, we don't have enough homes. Now the economic development folks are coming to the table saying, we want to recruit these companies. We need more housing.
Yeah.
And so it's finally being hopefully linked up and being part of the puzzle. But it was really neglected for 10 years. And that's,
yeah.
A lot of those homes, if we would have built them from 2010 to 2020, they would be resale inventory right now. But they weren't being.
So yeah, we're kind of in this in a catch-up phase, which, you know, it's gonna require a lot of dialogue and a lot of innovative, I think, approaches. You mentioned, you know, about 20 some thousand homes built in 2023, and I'm curious where are you seeing most of this activity occurring? I mean, we have data on it. I'd be curious to hear from your perspective the kind of geographic trends, like where is most of the new housing being constructed?
Yep. The Richmond market's doing well. I'm hearing positive news out of Fredericksburg, kind of up the 95 corridor, stopping at Fredericksburg. We're hearing positive news from the Shenandoah Valley markets.
We have been hearing that too.
Yeah, particularly Fishersville, Waynesboro, Augusta counties, Harrisonburg areas. I guess if you go up to Winchester, that those markets seem to be doing very well. Northern Virginia, I would say, is the one we're seeing the biggest pullback.
Good.
Getting a project through the system up there, the entitlement process at the local government level,
sure,
it is very tough. It takes a lot of time.
There's a lot of soft costs, I guess.
There's
involved.
A lot of soft. Yeah, there's one local government, not to be mentioned here, that recently had a meeting to increase cash proffers to $100,000 a unit. The builders and developers go, uncle, I'll move on to another market. It's not there for us. So So we're seeing some pullback there. We are seeing a lot of infill, of course, infill development in Northern Virginia. Now, I think Northern Virginia is still a very resilient market because obviously the federal government being there. So I think it'll come back, just a little bit of pullback, but really primarily kind of the Golden Crescent, if you will, with extended out into the Shenandoah Valley or there, as we're seeing a lot of positive news come in from.
Is there any other than Northern Virginia where you're seeing a bit of a slowdown? Is, you know, how is Hampton Roads faring? Or
Hampton Roads is tough. Hampton Roads has not really been doing well in the last several years. They never really rebounded from the pandemic. Very transient market down there.
Got it. Well, I think this has been an awesome conversation. I think, you know, one kind of final question I have for you, Craig, and this is, you're really kind of linking our organizations, the membership of our organizations together, and really trying to think of ways that we can, you know, continue the dialogue at the local level, you know, at the region level, you know, because really when you think about it, realtors and builders and contractors and people that are in the construction space and firms that are in this space are very key to the overall housing industry. And so from your perspective with the home builders, what can realtors do to engage with builders in their communities? And really more specifically, how can realtors help builders? And what are some ways that builders are helping realtors that you've seen?
Sure. Well, number one, builders do value the realtor community very much. I mean, you all basically are the pipeline to the customer. You can help us with the sale. You can make the process very simple. I asked a couple builders recently about this, and they said that they really like to be approached by the realtor community and asked how they can be the best asset possible. Do they want them to be involved with how many meetings up front, the entire process with each walkthrough? Or do they want them to be involved in the front end and the back end? Do they want them to be involved with the selection process? That's number one, is just ask how they would like for them to be involved and make sure that conversation is had upfront.
Yeah, man.
Two, I would say how to be the best asset is really understand the construction process. But understand the challenges that builders are facing, and that when there are delays, that builder does not want delays, because for every day that they don't get that house closed, just like others, that's less money they're going to make. So they're doing everything in their power not to have delays, and to communicate that to the buyer, you know, make sure the buyer understands that, hey, they're doing everything possible really on the front end. And to that end, also let your buyers know that for every day that they take to make certain decisions on selections, that is going to slow down the production process. I hear that from builders a lot. You know, the buyers aren't happy, but they wouldn't pick out their countertop color, and they just, you know, that just pushes everything out. So if the realtors can just, no problem if you want to take extra time to pick that cabinet color. But for every day you pick, just know it could push your closing out. So that's not going to be on the builder's fault at the end. So that we want the end of the day, the process, the closing, everybody's happy. Everybody understands. So those would be the things that I would say is communicate and then understand the challenges the builders are facing.
That's great. Well, thank you for those insights, Craig. And for our listeners out there, if anybody has any questions, follow-up questions for Craig, or would like to, you know, get in contact with builders in your local community, feel free to reach out to our team, and we'll get you linked up to the home builders and get that conversation started. You can email us at research@virginiarealtors.org. Everyone stick around. We got a short pop quiz for Craig. All right, Craig, are you ready for your quiz? This is a Roofline tradition.
Okay.
All right, here we go. What is the size of the largest home ever constructed in the state of Virginia? The size. Is it A, 12,700 square feet, B, 16,000 square feet, C, 25,900 square feet, or D, 41,000 300 square feet.
All right. Well, I don't think it's A or D. I may have seen some driven by some homes that are 12,000 square feet. So it's not A, but I'm going to go right in the middle. I will go with C, 25,900 square feet.
Ding, 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 ding. Well done. That is correct. It is a property, massive property in Fauquier County, actually called North Wales Farm in the Warrenton area. And bonus points for you, if you could tell me what year the home on that property was built.
Oh, I'll give you a hint.
I'll give you a hint. While this home was being constructed, our country was being founded.
Oh, well, I'm glad I took that U.S. history. Is it 1776?
Right again.
I would not have guessed that. Wow.
Hey, you crushed this quiz. Well done.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Rooflines, real talk about real estate in Virginia. If you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe to Rooflines on your favorite podcast platform. If you have ideas for future podcast topics, please share those with us by emailing rooflines@virginiarealtors.org.